beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins unto God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us. And for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace, we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
King is coming to you.
Righteous and having salvation.
Who in the skies can be compared to the Lord?
Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord?
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne.
Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you.
Blessed are the people who know the festal shout.
Who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face.
Who exalt in your name all the day.
And in your righteousness are exalted.
For our shield belongs to the Lord.
Our King to the Holy One of Israel.
Power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and be saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the second chapter. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above all the hills. And all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
May they be secure who love you.
I was glad when they said to me,
Let us go to the house of the Lord.
Our feet have been standing
within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, built as a city
that is bound firmly together,
to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel,
to give thanks to the name of the Lord.
There thrones for judgment were set,
the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
May they be secure who love you.
Peace be within your walls,
and security within your towers.
For my brothers and companions' sake,
I will say, Peace be within you.
For the sake of the house of the Lord our God,
I will seek your good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
May they be secure who love you.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 13th chapter. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love the neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, lift up your heads, O gates.
Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage to the Mount of Olives, Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from the Gospel reading, the words of the prophet Zechariah, used by St. Matthew when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. This is our text. Happy Advent, dear brothers and sisters. We've come to the season that prepares the way for Christmas and Epiphany. The word Advent means coming. It announces the arrival of a king. Behold, your king is coming to you. Says who? Says Zechariah the prophet, that's who. Says St. Matthew in our gospel reading, that's who. Your king is coming to you. Now, the season of Advent looks both backward and forward. It looks in both directions. It looks backward to Jesus' first coming, his coming in humility, the humility of being, of having a virgin mother and having a manger for his bassinet, the humility of a Nazareth upbringing and no place to lay his head, the humility of a suffering servant and even death, death upon a cross. At Advent, we do look back in that direction. We look back to his humility, to his suffering, to his dying. But we also look forward, and we look forward to Jesus' second coming, his coming in glory. We look forward through the glory of his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. We look to the glory of his coming on the clouds, escorted by angels, being announced by the archangel's trumpet. We look to the glory of the last day, to the resurrection of all the dead, and the final judgment. So at Advent, this season that we begin today, we look forward to that coming again of Christ in glory. The prophet Isaiah in our first reading was looking forward. He was looking forward to what he called the latter days. Days that he described like this: when the mountain of the Lord's house will be lifted up and exalted, when all nations will flow into it, when people will say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. That time that Isaiah was looking forward to begins here and now. It's already taking place. In Christ, God has exalted his church as a holy mountain. And all nations are coming to a knowledge of the truth and to Christ as their Savior. Pakistanis and South Sudanese and our own neighbors in central Massachusetts, flowing into the house of the God of Jacob, being baptized by the one who is the greater son of Jacob, being taught the way of salvation in Jesus. That time is now. And yet what Isaiah saw still remains incomplete. Some of it has not yet taken place. Not yet does Jesus judge between the nations. Not yet do people beat their weapons into farm tools. Still, now, nation rises against nation, and there are wars, and there are rumors of wars, and the longed-for peace seems so very far, far away. The great mountain that Isaiah saw, the heavenly Jerusalem, still so far away, still hidden under weakness. And the church, how does the church appear in the times in which we live? It appears divided. It appears torn apart. It appears under distress from heresies and from corruption and from worldly pressures. That doesn't make it sound like the highest of the mountains, does it? Not yet. But it will be soon. When Christ returns in glory, in time, at the end of time, when faith turns into sight, then you too will see with your own eyes what God has been doing all along. You'll see what he was up to underneath and behind all of human history. That day will be glorious, and on that day the church will appear with Christ in splendor as the highest of the mountains to whom all nations stream. Not yet, but soon. Behold, your King is coming to you. Perhaps it sounds a little bit like Palm Sunday, like the beginning of Holy Week, not Advent. But that's not an accident. The last time that anyone saw, and I mean this physically, not simply in terms of our church here, but the last time that anyone saw King Jesus riding into his city, it was in humility. It was as a beggar on a borrowed donkey. It took place to fulfill what the prophet Zechariah had foretold, because Zechariah looked forward to the day when the Messiah King would ride in to take his throne. That's what the people were expecting when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And some expected that his taking of the throne would involve revolution and overthrow and revolt against the reigning Roman government. No one expected what actually happened. No one expected King Jesus, when he was riding in on that donkey, to be enthroned on a cross, to be crucified. And yet that's how Jesus came to wage war. Not at the head of a massive army, not with legions upon legions of angels following him, but Jesus came to wage war by single combat. One on one, alone, by himself, waging war against all the enemies who surround us, against sin that is within, against the devil that is around, against the world that is behind us, and against death which lies in front of us. He came to do battle with these enemies, and he came to battle them to the death, to bring them down by dying. He came to lay down his life for his people. He came not to hear their praises, not to receive their worship, not to have them waving the palm branches and laying down their coats. He came for their rescue. He came for your rescue. Your King comes now, today, right here, to you also. You may think that you come to him, but the truth is that he comes to you. He's the one who seeks you out. He's the one who tracks you down and finds you. And he's the one who comes hidden, still in humility. You could say that today your King rides forth in disguise. He rides incognito. He comes not in the way that you would expect a king to come, but he comes in ways that look weak and lowly. Because what seems weaker to us and more hidden than the way our Lord comes through the water of holy baptism? What seems weaker and more hidden than the way our Lord joins his body and blood to bread and wine in the Holy Communion? What seems weaker and more hidden than the holy absolution and the declaration of grace delivered by his all too human ambassadors in the office of the holy ministry? Jesus comes still today as he came the first time, humbly and hidden, able to be spurned, able to be rejected and ignored. Every tongue does not confess him. Every knee does not bow, not yet. At present, you can turn your back on him. You can mock him. You can spit on him. You can even, so to speak, crucify him again, and many still do, without any obvious consequences or repercussions. But know this, humility does not mean weakness. The humility of our Lord does not mean defeat. King Jesus makes his power known and perfect through weakness. King Jesus secures victory through what looks like defeat.
King Jesus wins his war not by slaughtering his enemies, but by dying at the enemy's hand. Jesus rules as no other king ever has or ever will. He's the crucified, the risen, and the reigning king. And he is the only king the world needs, the only king you need. But I know we've got a problem, and our problem is this. We hate to wait. We hate to wait for everything, including to see our king with our own eyes. We can't stand this not yet. We don't want Advent. We want Christmas now. We don't want suffering and weakness and a king who comes humbly and hidden. We want the power and the glory and the trumpet to sound. We don't want this life with its sorrows and its difficulties. We want heaven and the life of the world to come. We don't want to believe it. We want to see it with our own eyes. And so we become impatient. We grow distracted. We doubt. The world laughs at us for believing that Jesus will really come again. And we wait. And Advent helps us. Now, I know it seems that Advent is just the same old story every year. Every year we come to Advent, and every year we're waiting for someone we've never seen, but who has promised to come again, to appear in glory. And when he doesn't come one year, we repeat it all again the next year. Maybe it sounds silly. Maybe it sounds hopeless. But remember who we're waiting for. Remember who it is that has promised to come again. It's Jesus, our King, the one who died and rose again. And I can tell you this, Jesus doesn't joke around. And he doesn't make casual promises. If he says he's coming, he's coming. Don't doubt it. And there were plenty of sane people, plenty of rational people, plenty even of skeptical people who, when they heard what Jesus promised, believed it, and who followed him until the very day they died. And so do we. We join with all the Christians who have come before. We join with them in waiting for our Lord's glorious return. And as we wait, we pray, "Stir up your power, O Lord, and come." Advent encourages us to wait patiently, to watch with eyes wide open. In our second reading, the reading from Romans, St. Paul describes the time in which we're living as the early morning. Imagine this, it's early morning and the alarm is just about to go off. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. You open one eye and it looks dark outside, but you can see on the horizon the faint glow of the new day. Will you roll over? Will you go back to sleep? Will you silence the alarm? But it's time to wake up. That's what St. Paul is saying. Get ready. Your king comes to you. Salvation is nearer to you today than when you first believed. Salvation is nearer to you today than it was at the beginning of Advent in 2021. So how should we live as we watch and as we wait for the day to appear? Well, what are you waiting for? Is it darkness or is it light? What are you waiting for, condemnation or salvation? Remember who you are. You are baptized into Christ Jesus. You've been clothed with Christ. You are children of the light, children of the day. So we are to live as the children we are. Drunkenness, immorality, quarreling, and jealousy, these things do not belong to us. They do not belong to the baptized children of the day. So put them off and put them away. You've put on Jesus through your baptism. You put on his righteousness and his holiness. So wear that. Forget about the desires of the flesh. Forget about the desires of your sinful self. Don't indulge them. Don't feed the lusts. Don't nurse the hates. Don't dwell on the self-pity. Don't pursue the addictions. Your sin means death to you, but the good news is this. Your sin has died with Christ, and you now are about life and light. Yes, the world lives in darkness, and the world practices the works of darkness, but not you. You've been called out of that, and you are being called out of that again today. You've been called to live in the day that is coming and not in the night that's fading away. You've been called to live with Jesus as your King, the King who reigns even now and who will come again in glory. He brings the dawn. His death and resurrection is the first light on the horizon, so you know the full day isn't far. It's coming soon. That's the spirit of the Advent season. Advent puts the focus on the horizon, puts the focus on the rising sun, puts the focus on the coming King, on the mountain of the Lord, on the glory that is yet to be. Behold, your King comes to you. Once he came by way of a virgin, soon he comes with angels. Once he came by manger and cross, but soon he comes with heaven's glory. Once he came riding on a borrowed donkey, soon he comes with clouds descending. Once he came as a beggar king, soon he comes as King of Kings. Once he came to die, soon he comes to raise the dead. Once he came in weakness, soon he comes in power. Once he came to be judged, soon he comes to judge. Once he came to win salvation, soon he comes to bring that salvation in full. Behold, the King who came will come soon. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
The thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Stir up your power, O Lord, to rescue us from the darkness, dangers of this dark world by the advent of your Son, that we may ever walk in his light and learn the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, though we do not know the day or hour of your Son's appearing, grant that we would always be prepared by sending us faithful pastors who will boldly proclaim your word of law and gospel to us, that we may walk in our baptisms and be constantly encouraged and built up in the faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God of Jacob, you have established your kingdom as a beacon to call all nations unto yourself. Teach us to walk in the light of your peace. Bless us as we prepare for living nativity. Unite us in this work. Provide us with all that we need to carry it through. and use us to make your name known to the nations. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord of love, visit our homes and defend us from the temptation to works of darkness, that husbands and wives may love one another and raise their children in the faith. Grant your care to all expectant mothers, including Laura and Kay, and to all mothers with young children, and to those who suffer infertility or infant loss. Be the help and support of all who are involved in foster care and adoption. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you are the authority to whom all authorities must bow. Give wisdom and godly insight to our president, our governor, and all who make, administer, or judge our laws. Lead them to protect the lives of the unborn and provide our communities with good care for those who are abortion vulnerable and post-abortive. Grant peace among the nations, that swords may be beaten to plowshares and spears to pruning hooks. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, look with mercy upon the sick. Visit them during these Advent days to comfort them with your saving gospel. We give thanks for hearing our prayers on behalf of Al, Thomas, and Raylan, and for your mercy given to them this week. If it be your will, we pray, grant continued healing and peace to them, as well as to Bobby Joe, Jason, Jackie, Randy, Rosemarie, Nancy, Robert, John, Karen, Sherry, Ed, Alicia, Ted, Gwen, Anthony, Michelle, and all for whom we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Draw us unto yourself, O Lord, gathered around the holy body and precious blood of your Son in the sacrament of the altar. Sustain us in saving faith, that we may eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O loving Father, you alone know the day and the hour when our Lord Jesus Christ will come again in glory. Comfort the grieving and those who are weary, and keep us all steadfast in the one true faith, that we may ever be ready for his reappearing. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant, John the Baptist, to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood, given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul, is what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is a King of glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.